Blog Talk Radio.
The Roman Show, June 18th, coming back right at you. Today we have a spectacular program. I know we say this all the time, but really, we really do mean it. Because we have World Series of Fighting, Ashley Evans Smith, and Rick Glenn. Glenn is going up against Georgie Karakanyan, the featherweight champion of World Series of Fighting, this Saturday, June 21st. And Ashley is coming back to action after defeating Fallon Fox, the first transgender mixed martial artist. Then we have Joey Ryan, former TNA superstar, who will be making his debut at Full Impact Pro in Florida. And lastly, a former WWE talent who made a big impact in the profession, professional wrestling. We're talking about Mr. Funkasaurus himself. Brodus Clay will be on the program. He'll let us know about his release in WWE, but most importantly, what is next on his career. With that being said, make sure you follow all the action on social media at The Roman Show on Twitter, Roman Show Media on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's rroman0201. And now we are also on SoundCloud, where you can find exclusive content. That's soundcloud.com/RodolphoRoman.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in the bank.
Booster. Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go. Fly.
Guidance.
Transform.
Surgeon.
Go. Blade.
Go.
We're going. Flight.
GNC.
We're going.
Down here.
Go.
Control.
Go.
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 FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go. Fly.
Launch control. This is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
Alrighty, June 18th, this Saturday, June 21st, you got the World Series of Fighting on NBC Live, NBC Sports Live on your cable and satellite provider. Make sure you check on the channel. Rodolfo Roman here, your host on this program where we have four phenomenal guests. And on the other end, Joe the Reporter. What's going on, Joe?
Not much, Roman. All I gotta just say is, anybody watch Monday Night Raw, gotta say is Stardust.
You know, people say that it's a good thing. Yeah, it makes sense, I guess, but to each his own. Honestly, I'm not a big fan of it, but whatever. I mean, it does make sense, you know? When was the last time?
Stardust.
The two brothers teaming up. I get it. That's pretty cool. I think it's pretty neat, but not too much sold on the character. But apparently what they're saying is that character is going to last for a while. So don't make any plans on Cody Rhodes changing his character. And obviously this will lead to what Dusty Rhodes said himself, a match that is going to shock the world of professional wrestling between Goldust and Cody Rhodes, the Rhodes brothers, going one-on-one, perhaps at WrestleMania, don't you think?
And then it's going to be Papa Dust.
Well, Joe, as we stated here earlier on this program, we're going to have a great show. Ashley Evans Smith, Rick Glenn, Joey Ryan, and Brodus Clay. Guys, remember to follow us on social media. We have an exclusive interview with Luke Hawks at the YouTube channel, youtube.com/rroman0201. Or just go to the website, theromanshow.com. And mm-hmm. We are on SoundCloud, on iTunes. Just look up iTunes right there, and also on Stitcher Radio. I mean, we're everywhere. You really cannot miss us. We're literally everywhere.
No, you can't. Especially SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about SoundCloud is that you are able to listen just to the interview, so you hear the audio itself. By the way, if you haven't had an opportunity to do so, there is a great article by the Hollywood Reporter. You can find it on Yahoo. On how Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, battling depression. Who would have thought? The Rock, the people's champion, dealing with depression. Got an opportunity to read just a little bit, but I want to get back to it. But The Rock battling depression, great interview right there. Great write-up by Stephen Galloway. So make sure you read that for yourself. The big news, though, in mixed martial arts today, Bjorn Rebney is stepping down as the main man for Bellator. This is big news because Bjorn was the man who started this whole thing. And I mean, not only Bjorn, also Tim Danaher, or Danaher, was also released. The chairman and CEO is no longer a part of Bellator. He's parted ways. And now Spike, or Viacom, has agreed to terms with the ex-UFC executive, Scott Coker, who also ran Strikeforce. He was the president, which aired on Showtime. And Bellator was known for their tournament style of mixed martial arts. It seems that that is not the way that Viacom wanted. There are some mixed reactions as far as Bjorn Remney leaving the company. Some saying that it's good because he mistreated his fighters. Others say it's sad to hear that he's leaving because he did a good job. But give credit where credit is due. The guy had over 120 shows. He got Bellator where it is on TV. I mean, you got to give this guy credit. And I had an opportunity of interviewing him several times, where he stated that, you know, he was always been a combat sports fan, and he got this thing together. So that is the big news right now. World Series of Fighting matchmaker Ali is already saying that today is MMA Independence Day, because now his offer, promotion versus promotion, is still on the table. He said he also likes Scott Coker, and that he'd still be willing to put that on the line. World Series of Fighting versus Bellator on pay-per-view. I think that would be a phenomenal show, but we would have to see. Give Coker some time. I mean, he literally just got the position. So let's see what happens there. I think it would be great, though, for you, for all mixed martial arts fans. With that said, Joe, again, we have a lot of stuff out here. UFC and Brandon Vera has split ways after a nine-year run. Obviously, Brandon Vera had been in the UFC for a very long time, but that is no longer the case if they are separated. And if you haven't had the opportunity of doing so, please head on over to the any of these websites, MMA Junkie, wherever the heck you want it. And please see Mike Tyson punking Dana White on a UFC jet. Joe, it is the funniest thing you would ever see. Dana White is sitting on a seat. Mike Tyson comes, smacks him on his chest, tells him, get out. He gets out, and Mike Tyson sits down and takes over his seat. And then Dana White's sleeping, and he writes on his forehead, Dick. So it's truly hilarious. Really funny stuff. Joe, you there?
Yep, only something that Mike Tyson would do.
And, I mean, who's not going to do anything to me? Hell yeah, I'll move out of the way. It's freaking Mike Tyson. Don't knock me out.
Or bite your ear off.
Either one. We'll be right back. Ashley Evans Smith here on The Roman Show.
Attention baseball fans. The Miami Marlins are looking for a few good heroes. Jose Zeros. Join one of the most hardcore fan sections in baseball today with the all-new Jose Zeros season ticket package. You'll see all 81 home games from this exclusive section. Plus, you'll get 6 Jose Zeros t-shirts and a private meet and greet with Jose himself. All for just $4.99. That's about $6 per game. Get your Jose Zeros season ticket package today at Marlins.com. Dive in.
Do you like wrestling? Have you seen independent wrestling? How about Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, Shine, and Full Impact Pro? Find out what you're missing and watch video on demand and live internet pay-per-view in HD on WWNLive.com. It's time to upgrade to a premier wrestling experience with the World Wrestling Network. WWNLive.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, June 21st, World Series of Fighting 10, NBC Sports Live. And I got a good friend here. I followed her career from the beginning here pretty much when she used to fight here in Miami, Florida. I'm talking about Ashley Evans Smith, who will be fighting Marcia Allen in the World Series of Fighting 10, June 21st in Las Vegas. Ashley, welcome to the Roman Show. It's been a while. Awesome, my pleasure. Ashley, well, you know, obviously, you know, you had that big fight with Fallon Fox, the whole
media drama and all that stuff. You know, my first question is actually, why the layoff? You know, why do we get you to fight here in June? Because you're always training. We constantly see you there on social media. You're constantly training. You're training with big guys, very guys that are well known. But why the layoff? What set you back there?
Well, to be honest, it wasn't something I wanted. I wanted to fight. You know, I like fighting consistently. You know, the tournament was really nice because I had a chance to fight three times, but the idea was like a 5-month period. Even serious that they pushed the finals back when all the kind of Alan Fox stuff happened. So if it was up to me, I would have fought, you know, relatively soon after my October fight with Fallon. But after that, I signed a contract with World Series, and they just had a real big problem finding an opponent for me. And I couldn't tell you why. I don't know what reasons, you know, girls have for not wanting to fight me, but, you know, it took us 6 months to finally solidify a date, and I couldn't be happier to finally be fighting in 2 weeks. Oh, actually, 11 days.
So you were, you know, your last fight, I believe it was in October. So you were ready to go, what, January, February, ready to go?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, I took really no damage in the fight. I felt amazing, you know, no injuries. You know, I just kind of wanted to keep the momentum going. You know, take a couple months off to fine tune my skills, but, yeah, I should have been ready to fight in January, no problem.
Now, actually, you know, going back to that fight, do you feel, and you remember all the hype and everyone going, and I got to tell you something, I have covered MMA for so long, I have never in my life, and I'm sure you felt it too, I've never in my life felt that crowd, that energy, that vibe, how they were behind you screaming. I mean, you must have had chills. But do you think that coming into this fight, there's actually more pressure because you have to live up to that last performance you had against Fox?
Yeah, definitely, but I've definitely realized that every fight from now on is going to be my most important fight. You know, the one after this is going to be my most important fight. And, you know, 5 fights from now, that's going to be the most important fight because, you know, my plan is to just keep on fighting, you know, be undefeated and keep racking up, you know, title belts. So I'm okay with that, you know, and as you can see from the Fallon fight, I think I do well under pressure, and I don't really mind the media hype. I actually enjoy it a little bit. It kind of makes me train harder and, you know, it just doesn't bother me, to be honest. But, yeah, this fight's so important, but in my eyes, every fight has been important to me. Even my first amateur fight was the hugest fight of my life.
And ever since then, you know, you were on HBO, you were in all of this. What have been the feedback? What has been the support from the MMA community, from the sports community in general, as far as what you accomplished that night?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, I really appreciate all the publicity, and, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. I missed out on an opportunity to be on the Ultimate Fighter show, and at the time it felt like, you know, I got robbed, and, you know, I felt like I would have done really great on the show, but it's kind of good to show you that everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. A month later, I ended up signing a title fight, winning $20,000 and getting national publicity, you know?
Mm-hmm. What have you done with the $20,000?
I did a lot of smart things, you know, just me over here kind of taking care of myself, so paid a couple months rent, and, you know, I mean, I think the most, like, lavish thing was, you know, I went and bought a whole bunch of Lululemon and new workout clothes and stuff like that, but I really invested some of it, and I really made it so that I could really focus more on my training and work less.
Now, going into this fight, Marcia Allen, what can you tell us about her, and what can we expect from you and her?
I know that she is a striker. I know that she has a boxing background. I've studied all of her tapes, all her amateur tapes. Me and my coach have broken her down just like we do every opponent. We know she is skilled on the feet. She's, you know, technical. She throws straight. She's very accurate, but in my eyes, her striking is very basic, and it's not really MMA striking. It's more boxing striking. I feel like I am going to be able to transition from my striking to my grappling and jiu-jitsu a lot better because she seems a little one-dimensional to me. She, on the ground, I really think I'm going to, you know, I know it sounds awful, but I really think I'm going to have my way with her on the ground. I don't think she's going to be a problem. You know, I respect her on the ground. I studied her tapes, but, you know, we've got a solid game plan, and I think we're, you know, I know we're ready.
Well, from that first fight that you had to the second fight, you know, and I was telling this to everyone out there, that your stand-up game improved with a snap of the finger. So I'm sure that the next time around, this fight come around June 21st, is going to be a lot better. What have you fixed from that stand-up that you had from those last two fights? Anything in particular?
Yeah, you know, and I really just, that's probably like the biggest thing in my entire arsenal is my ability to get better every day. You know, right now I feel like a sponge just soaking up all the technique I can. You know, I'm in my infancy stages of my career and everything's just fresh and new and I'm learning all these new techniques, you know, whether it's a judo or a taekwondo base or, you know, street boxing. And I'm thinking a lot of things, especially just striking-wise, I've mixed them all together. And so now, if you saw my last fight with Fallon, I think she caught, like, two of my kicks, if not three. And I was very disappointed, and I went back, and I, you know, tweaked the game plan. I you know, looked back at, like, setting up what I want to do, setting up my striking, or setting up my angles, setting up my kicks, setting up my takedowns, all that kind of stuff. And I've definitely been working with a lot of people that have great striking for MMA. My coach is Adam Nguyen, and one of my best friends is a very old man. And, you know, they have very unorthodox styles. And I think you're going to see a lot of that in this fight. You're going to see, you know, the grappler and wrestler that you all know, but you're also going to see a lot of unorthodox striking as well.
And now, with the World Series of Fighting, what's the fight deal? What's the fight contract? How many fights?
Right now, I'm in a 4-fight contract, and this will be my debut, and I'll let 135 pounds.
Gotcha. Well, Ashley, I want to wish you good luck come June 21st. And are there any word of a title? I know it's too soon, but any word? Will you promise a title in the future? I mean, what's the deal with that?
Man, if they offer it, I'll take it. You know, I'm just the kind of fighter that doesn't look too far into the future. I take one fight at a time. I'm not looking past my skin. I respect her, and I'm going to, not take her for granted. I'm just going to go in there. I'm going to fight. I'm going to do my job. And then we'll start talking title fights after that.
Okay. Wonderful, Ashley. Well, I want to thank you so very much for joining us here on The Roman Show. Again, do not miss Ashley Evans-Smith. Debuts on NBC Sports Live against Marcia Allen. And that's June 21st in Las Vegas. Well, you're going to be fighting home. That's where you live, right, in Vegas? Oh, you're in California, not too far from there.
No, I live in Southern California, but just too far from Vegas.
Not too far from there. So it's almost being like fighting in front of a home crowd.
Yeah, oh yeah, I have a crazy group of people coming to support me, which I love. So that's the first time they really, you know, my friends and family have actually come to see me since I was fighting with you guys all the way over there in Miami, you know?
That's a big difference there, so a 3-hour difference.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. And, yeah, I get chill just talking about it.
Awesome, Ashley. Well, thanks so very much again for joining us here on The Roman Show, and we look forward to seeing you in action. We'll see you at Fighting Number 10, and good luck.
Thank you so much, Roman.
Check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
All right, everyone. If you haven't done so yet, head on over to theromanshow.com where you can see exclusive interviews. Exclusive interviews on our website. Original content on our website, theromanshow.com. Make sure to put that on your bookmark there so you can visit on a daily basis, as we're always putting stuff out there on a daily basis, from articles to video interviews to audio interviews, the whole nine yards, theromanshow.com. Now, Joe, you know, do you get a little tense sometimes, a little stressed out?
Yeah, I do sometimes.
Right. Well, you know, the best way to do this, to get your muscles all relaxed and calm down, well, you need to get yourself a massage. Now, there's a lot of massage places out there. You've seen them out there, the Asian massage and so forth. But obviously, that is not the way to go. You need to go to a pro. You need to go to someone that knows what the heck they're doing, because you can pay $30, and I guarantee you, you'll walk out of there with a face like saying to yourself, "That's it? That's it?" Well, this is one place in Miami, Florida, for those who live in Miami. on 1997 Southwest 1st Street, massages in space. Trust me, when Miranda gets her hands on your body, man, you are going to feel absolutely brand new. All those injuries, all that pain you had is going to go away. Massages in space will take care of that for you at a very reasonable price. You let them know that the Roman Show sent you. That's Massages in Space, 1997 Southwest 1st Street. You can also visit them on Facebook, Massages in Space. Let them know that the Roman Show sent you, and might never know. They might hook you up with a good price. For those on the line, keep there. Keep on the line as we're going to welcome in, open up the lines in just a little bit, as we're going to welcome in just a few seconds, Rick Glenn, later on Joy Ryan, and Brodus Clay here on The Roman Show. Subscribe, too, to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rroman0201. You know, I was on the pages right now prior to heading live on the air, Joe, and I came across an article that allegedly states that Dirk Nowitzki, all right, of the Mavericks, and Carmelo Anthony from the Knicks might be looking for a house in Miami, Florida. Now, we all know what happened with the finals. The Miami Heat fell short. Well, not, you know, I can't even say they fell short. They got cremated in those last three games. It was just horrible. Horrible performance by the Heat. Really
bad. I'm still dealing with it.
It's ridiculous. And everyone's talking about where LeBron James is going to go and so forth. We don't know yet. But I can tell you this. The probability is very high for the Miami Heat. So what next? That's the question that everyone wants to ask. What are the missing pieces to make this team the dynasty? You know, that team that's going to win 3, 4, 5, 6 championships. So that is where we are at right now, and we need to figure it out. I'm sure the big guys, the big honchos, are figuring out the missing pieces and are getting their money together to present it to those that they think need to be on this team to bring home another championship. And to all those people that hated on the Miami Heat, just shut up, man. We went 4 times to the finals consecutively. There's only 2 other teams that have accomplished that, and that is the Celtics and the Lakers. And I guarantee you, if we keep LeBron and all these other guys, we're going to make it 5 in a row. You can go back to June 18th, 2014, replay this thing. We're going to make it 5 if we keep the team. And we know we are. We know we are. Do you have any questions? Twitter, make sure you write it. At The Roman Show. We'll reply right back to you. Folks, we'll be right back with this short little break as we welcome in none other than Rick Glenn, who's getting a crack at the Featherweight Championship at the World Series of Fighting No. 10 this Saturday.
Este es Tigre 1 y segmento Roman Show.
Hi, this is TNA Knockout Gail Kim, and keep watching The Roman Show.
Well, we're getting closer already. June 21st, World Series of Fighting on NBC Sports. Do not miss it, folks. Coming all the way from Las Vegas, and on the line, we have Rick Glenn, who will be fighting Georgie Karakanyan, the current WSOF featherweight champion. And originally, this fight was supposed to happen back in December, but unfortunately Glenn had to take a leave from that fight, but he's getting a chance at it now. Rick, welcome to The Roman Show. How are you, man?
Hey, doing good.
Rick, so here you are. You're going to get a crack at the title. Last December you were scheduled to fight him, but due to personal reasons, you weren't able to fight. Can you explain to us what happened, if it's possible, and how did you overcome that? Are you okay now?
Yeah, everything's okay now. You know, I'm really thankful that they still gave me the opportunity to fight for the title. Unfortunately, I had some family issues going on. My sister, you know, she has a brain cancer in her brain and spine, and, you know, we didn't think she had much time left, so we wanted to make sure we spent time with her. And, you know, of course, we were worried. And so, unfortunately, I just withdrew from it. And, you know, luckily, Lance Palmer was able to fill in for me. And now I get my shot at it.
Is your sister okay?
But, yeah, she's doing a lot better now, actually. It's just everything's kind of staying the same.
That is awesome. That is glad to hear, man. By any chance, she'll be out there in person checking you out live?
No, no.
She'll be watching it on TV then?
No. Yep, she'll be watching.
You know, this fight, and I'm getting the vibe from this conversation, aside from the title, has it become more for your sister? Are you dedicating this fight for your sister?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, my sister and everyone else that supported me, you know, and, you know, all the time that I put into this sport is kind of all built up to this fight. You know, I'm putting a lot of energy into this one.
Were you able to catch this fight with Caracana when he last fought Lance Palmer for the fight and Caracana won the title, although you were going through all this personal stuff? And what were your thoughts?
Yep, I did watch it. Yeah, I mean, it was a good fight. They're both good fighters. It sucked that I had a withdrawal. You know, I don't like doing that. I've never done that before, so it was kind of weird.
Does this make you even hungrier? You know, it's kind of like you were teased. You know, here's the title, come and get it. And then, you know, you had your personal problems. You had to put it aside. And then it just makes you more hungry. Do you feel you're going in more hungrier, more stronger into this fight?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Because, you know, I had a withdrawal, and then it's kind of like, you know, I'm not that known as it is. I know that. And, you know, I'm training hard, and I want to, you know, make my name known, and I kind of got put on the back burner for that one, you know.
While training, does it go through your head, you know, that's my title, that should have been me, does it go through your head to push you, to motivate you while you're in the camp?
No, I mean, obviously now I'm fighting, you know, to make a living and make money, so that's, you know, making a living and, you know, the money's kind of more important, but the title is just that extra little bonus, you know, it's going to, you know, help make me more known.
Rick, you're unbeaten in the last 12 fights. What do you credit for that, man? And you say you're not that known yet, but you got 12 fight winning streak, man. That's a big deal.
Thanks. Just not one lose. You know, I don't go in there thinking, oh, you know, I'm gonna beat him with this, I'm gonna beat him with that. When I fight, I mean, it's either me or you know. In the back of my head, I'm just thinking how bad I don't want to lose. I don't want to get my ass kicked.
Now, do you think that the winning streak will play a role? Also, your opponent, Caracana, the champion, does also have a 10-straight winning streak. But, you know, does it make it more extra fun watching this fight? Not just as a fighter, but as a fan, you would say?
Yeah, he's exciting, you know, to watch as a fan. You know, he's trying new stuff. I'm always trying new stuff. You know, I'm tough as hell. You know, he's well-rounded. I'm just, you know, I'm coming out there with all my heart, and, you know, I'm not going to lose.
Now, he's known for his submission game. I mean, he has over 10 victories of submission. I think I believe 13 submission victories. Are you going to test him on the ground? Any particular plans that you have going into this fight?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I've been training with the Askren brothers and some other wrestlers, so my wrestling has gotten a lot better over the years, and I feel really confident, you know, grappling.
Anything in particular that points out about him that you've been working on specifically more?
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be something that I'm always working on everything. I guess maybe the grappling. Maybe a little more grappling.
Now, during this time, these 6 months, you had your issue, but what have you been doing? You've been training constantly since January, you want to say, roughly. Have you been training for this fight? Did you know it was coming before they made the official announcement? Did you in your gut feel it?
Yeah, you know, actually, as soon as he got signed with Wilker, I figured we would meet eventually. So I had watched some footage back then, and not much recently. And, you know, I've seen his fights, and, you know, did some research back then. And now I'm just I'm really focused on my training and, you know, it's finally, you know, cutting down to the nitty gritty, and I'm looking forward to this. So next week, I just can't wait.
What made you think that you were gonna meet him?
Just because I figured I'd beat the dude I was fighting, so that was, you know, I'd won two fights in World Series, and he was, their number one guy, I think. So I figured we'd get matched up eventually.
Gotcha, Rick Glenn. Well, I want to appreciate your time here, man. June 21st, Jorge Karakanyan and Rick Glenn himself will be going one-on-one, featherweight title on the line. It will be live on NBC Sports. Rick, you want to add something else?
Thank you for the interview. Thanks, everyone, for the support. Tune in June 21st, NBC Sports, Vegas.
Attention baseball fans, the Miami Marlins are looking for a few good heroes. Jose Zeros. Join one of the most hardcore fan sections in baseball today with the all-new Jose Zeros season ticket package. You'll see all 81 home games from this exclusive section. Plus, you'll get 6 Jose Zeros t-shirts and a private meet and greet with Jose himself. All for just $4.99. That's about $6 per game. Get your Jose Zeros season ticket package today at Marlins.com. Dive in.
This is Dusty Rhodes via Mac. I mean, we're getting funky like a monkey right here with The Roman Show. Keep watching.
This is Carlito, and keep watching The Roman Show. Because that, my friends, that's cool.
You know, Joe, in this time of age, 2014, if you are not online, if your business is not online somehow, some way, whether it be social media or a website, then you need to get on the ball, because more than likely, you have reached your plateau. So how do you gain more customers? Very easily, man. You put yourself a website. Let the people know where you're located, what you offer, your services. And while you're at it, they're going to keep coming.
We're talking about the same people that put up this wonderful Roman Show website?
Indeed we are. OchoaOnline.com will fix your website. They'll put it together. If you have no idea, no clue, for a reasonable price, they'll put together a beautiful site just like the RomanShow.com. And trust me, you will see new customers, not only locally, but from all over the place. And the neat thing about it is, yes, OchoaOnline.com is in South Florida, but they'll cater to the world. OchoaOnline.com is the place you need to go to get yourself a website at a reasonable price and watch your business flourish. All right, guys. The Roman Show continues here as we are talking, well, we're talking a little bit of everything about sports entertainment here on The Roman Show. You mentioned this whole Stardust thing. Oh, I can't believe you mentioned that earlier on the show. You know, is it me? Is something lacking in the WWE?
Creativity?
Well, they're having all these budget cuts. You know, the curtain for Fandango's gone. Some tour buses are gone. Soon, pyros are going to leave. And a lot of people are blaming the whole WWE network. They've invested a lot of money on this. We know how much money McMahon lost in a year, in a day. I think it was like, what is it? I can't remember right now.
Over $300 million.
Yeah. He's no longer a billionaire. I know that. But
here's the thing. $300 million. You're starting a new product. Of course, there has to be a little bit of loss.
I agree.
But, of course, not that big of a loss, but, of course, a loss. But with the subscribers, and now that pretty soon, not only the United States, but all over the world can start getting it, that's where they're going to see the money piling back in.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's the thing, though. And obviously, we don't know because it's a private company. But the UFC has the UFC Fight Pass, and they seem to be doing okay. I mean, I don't know if it's just because there's less money that they have to spend on a show, but I don't know. Maybe we're just aware of it now,
but
because you know, WWE is a public company.
But here's the thing. With the UFC, they don't have no live network shows, you know, like in the bypass.
Okay, they don't have shows. Yes, they have live shows, live fights. But yes, they don't have. No, not even. They have the Ultimate Fighter, for example. The ones that are internationally, they air it on Fight Pass.
Uh-huh. So
they do have that, but they don't have as many live shows as the WWE Network. That's true. They don't.
Or like little commentating, you know, like almost like you could say like the pre-show and post-show.
Right. Yeah, they don't. They don't do that. But
so you know, where it's a little bit different that UFC can do it because there's really nothing going, you know, there's really nothing like live.
I don't know. And I mean, there's a reasonable price. I'm just hoping that the WWE Network is not going price. I'm really happy with the $9.99. And I really think they just don't change.
So they have to do the $9.99 for the first 6 months. So they cannot raise the price.
But it's coming up already. Where February is for those who signed up in February. Well, just a few months. That's it. We're gonna have to. Now, I wonder after the 6 month commitment, do you stay? Do you have to sign another 6 month commitment, or do you pay month to month? They haven't really said anything on that.
Well, you have to find out after the 6 months.
I think we do. All right, folks. Joe, now this is from your neck of the woods, and this is a very important notice here because it's going to support a very important cause. And it's cancer. Obviously, cancer has been affecting. It's the second most dangerous disease in the country. First one being heart condition, but cancer is right up there too. And you know, it's a shame that you just heard right now, the fighter's sister had a brain tumor, and that's the reason why he had to pull out of the fight. But on June 21st, there is going to be an event in your neck of the woods, Joe. Where they are going to be raising money for a beautiful young little girl. And Mr. Tim here is going to explain to us exactly what is going to go down this Saturday in South Carolina. Welcome to the Roman Show, Tim. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, absolutely great, sir. So tell us a little bit about this event so people can know what is going to happen and where can they get information. And obviously, the real reason why we have this wrestling event, which is to raise some money for this beautiful young little girl.
Well, this Saturday we're doing a show called Conquer Cancer for Super Sadie. Sadie's my daughter, and the reason why we call her Super Sadie, she dressed up as Supergirl last year for Halloween. And besides calling her Supergirl, we just call her Super Sadie. And she was diagnosed with FHCC back in March of this year. And she loves wrestling. She's a huge wrestling fan. She loves Brody's Clay. She loves Daniel Bryan. Every time they come on TV, the music hits, she'll start dancing. I got into wrestling business almost 3 years ago, and right before she was born. And she became a huge mark since she was a month old. And we're doing a show down here at Joey Dogs in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, to help raise money for medical bills and travel expenses to go back and forth to her doctor, because her doctors are 2 hours away. And it's expensive just driving to Charleston and back. We're going to have Jesse Neal versus OCW flop member Lodi in a Lodi's Bulls match. We've got a lot of indie wrestlers. One of our favorite indie wrestlers is Big Country. Blake Barnes is going to be there. Blood Money's going to be there. Even Sam Houston, he's donating his time to come down. He's going to be in the Carolinas this weekend, so he's coming to the show Saturday to donate his time and take pictures with fans. And the money that he's charging for the pictures is getting donated to Sadie. Joy Dogs is donating 15% of the sales, the time they open, the time they close that day, to Sadie for medical and travel expenses. That's about all that's about the show Saturday.
That is
like I said, Sadie was, we'll call it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so again, this event, it's free, but a lot of the proceeds will be going to help this little your little beautiful daughter here. And it's on 1818 Highway 17 business in Surfside, South Carolina. If they,
It's actually Myrtle Beach. I'm sorry. Yeah, because we got the address a little bit wrong when we did the flyer, because it's actually Myrtle Beach. It's right off, it's in between 544 and it's right off of 17, right by Dick's Pond on 544.
Okay, wonderful. And what's the exact address?
It's 1818 Highway 17, but it's actually Myrtle Beach, not Surfside.
Gotcha, wonderful. So it's June 21st in Myrtle Beach. Again, 1818 Highway 17 business. And bell time is 4 p.m. Great show, and it's all for a great cause. Tim, thank you so very much.
Right. And we
hope. Go ahead.
We also have these wristbands that we're going to be selling there for $3 each. And people can check out her Facebook page. She has a little light page called Super Sadie. You can check all the information. Everything will be on there.
Super Sadie. Okay, there it is. Super Sadie. Head on over to the on Facebook page, Super Sadie. We wish her a lot of good luck there. I'm sure she's fighting and she's making us proud. I know everything's going to be all right with her, sir.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you so very much. Again, for all those in Myrtle Beach, June 21st, do not miss this great wrestling event. And at the end of the day, it's all for Super Sadie. Please go out there and support. Thank you very much, Tim.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. All right, folks, here we have it. You know, it's just so tragic. I just actually had, I covered not too long ago, a little girl, man. She wasn't dying of cancer, but she had a heart condition. And her name was Brianna, beautiful young little girl. I never got a chance to meet her, but little girl was awaiting a heart transplant. And a lot of the folks from the community were getting together to raise some money and save her life and all the medical bills and help for the parents pay some of their costs since they weren't working. And unfortunately, she lost her battle. But it's just so sad, man, when, you know, innocent little kids, you know, they die of cancer or heart conditions or something like that, that they have to suffer at such a young age. So if you're in Myrtle Beach, please go out there and support Super Sadie, and enjoy the show, because it's definitely for a good cause.
Yes, it is.
All right, Joe, with that said, man, we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back with more here on The Roman Show. Again, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rroman0201. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher Radio. We are on SoundCloud. We're everywhere. Literally, take us wherever the hell you want. Please pass the word around as The Roman Show, little by little, is getting bigger and bigger. We have appeared on numerous websites last week with the whole... By the way, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the Tommy Dreamer interview, I invite you to do so, theromanshow.com. Listen to the interview. He talks about how he hired Brodus Clay, talks about working with the other guys that were released last week from the WWE. Also, Tigre Uno, TNA superstar. There is an exclusive interview on theromanshow.com. Hear that interview, para esos que hablan español. So we cater to all languages here, Joe. Soon we're going to start speaking Portuguese. What the hell? We got to cater to the... Hey, já fala português pequeno. I mean, I could get away with it, right? All right, we'll be right back.
Brazil.
We'll be right back with more of The Roman Show.
This is Booker T, 5-time WCW champion. Make sure you guys keep listening to The Roman Show, and I know you can dig that, sucker!
All right, folks, this weekend, do not miss it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, all the way, Full Impact Pro is going to present Florida Rumble 2014, Roth Jewish Community Center of Greater Orlando. Sorry about that. Located at 851 North Maitland Avenue. That's in Maitland, Florida. You can see it live. If you can't make it, you can see it live, wwnlive.com. And right now on the line, we welcome back none other than Joey Ryan to The Roman Show. This event will take place June 22nd, bell time, 3 p.m. How are you, Joey? Welcome to The Roman Show again.
Thanks.
doing well. Thanks for having me again.
Awesome, Joey. Well, Joey, you're coming to Florida, part of the WWN Live Network, part of the FIP. What brings you out here to the Sunshine State all the way from California?
There's a couple of events going on. That week, the FIP show on June 22nd, and then my partner Candace LeRae is going to be wrestling the Shine on June the 27th. So we're just going to make a little trip out of it, maybe do Disney and Universal while we're up there for the week. I'm staying with some of my guys. I live in Florida, obviously. Tampa and Orlando is kind of the wrestling capital of the world, so we're just going to visit a lot of friends and just hang out for the week.
And do we know exactly who you'll be wrestling specifically on 22nd of June?
I'm in a Florida Rumble, and the matches are going to be determined by the order of elimination.
Now, WWN has a long list of great superstars there. Anyone that you're really eyeing to particularly work with during your time here, aside from the Rumble? And is this just a one-shot deal? We're going to be seeing you more often in FIP or the whole WWN promotions?
Who knows? Candace and I did some stuff with the WWN Live in New Orleans over WrestleMania weekend. Uh-huh. And then, she's doing the Shine Show, which is also part of the WWN Live Network. So, who knows? It could be more stuff in the future. There's a lot of guys in that Rumble. I'm trying to go through them in my head right now. I think I've always wanted to wrestle the Cruz and Rios, and I think Rich Swann is in it, yep. And Caleb Connolly. So, I think it's a shot at Chase and Grant. So, there's a lot of guys in that Rumble that I don't mind getting in the ring with.
But for the most part, you're over there in the West Coast. You know, from your time from TNA Impact, you've been basing your time over there in the West Coast. How has it been the wrestling career right now? And going back to the time that you were in TNA, how are you as a professional wrestler today compared to the time that you were there? And what have you learned?
I don't do a whole lot of wrestling on the West Coast. I do the PWG stuff and championship wrestling from Hollywood, but I end up traveling a lot. Me and Kenneth LeRae, we have a tag team that, we're an intergender team, but we often wrestle against two guys all the time. Like, we wrestled when we were in New Orleans for the WWN Live Network. We wrestled the Bravados, and we just did some stuff in Dreamwave in Chicago against Eric Cannon, Derek Corbin, and a few other teams. And, so we've been traveling a lot of the team that, just from the CZW and WSU in New Jersey, FWE in New York. We've been just traveling a lot and keeping ourselves busy doing the team stuff.
I remember talking to Carlito here a couple of weeks ago. He told me that, from being part of a TNA or a WWE, there's nothing like being in the independent scene because you could have fun. Is that the same case for you, too, that you're able to do something that you couldn't do in those promotions?
Well, you're just more in control of everything. I had a lot of fun in TNA, a lot of good guys to work with, a good freaking crew, but, on the independence, I can pick and choose my own schedule. I can negotiate better with promoters about what I want to do and who I want to wrestle, so a little bit more freedom that way for me.
There were a lot of wrestlers that were released today from the WWE. Maybe you worked with them, maybe you know of them, including Evan Bourne, Broderick Clay. What would you suggest to these guys now that they are no longer with that company?
Just have fun. A lot of times when you're working for a major company, it becomes a job because, you've got so many bosses and writers and people that picking and critiquing you, and you kind of, obviously you're getting paid well, but you might lose your passion for it or your creativity for it because they're holding your hand through your matches and they're telling you step by step what they want, they want you to do. On the independents, those guys are going to have a chance to get their passion back and have the, rediscover why they fell in love with wrestling in the first place and get to use their own creative minds and their own talents and how they see fit. So just have fun with it and, it'll be a bigger struggle to get yourself out there and keep your name fresh and going, but you'll have more fun, definitely have more fun with the creative process of it.
Now, you've traveled several places as a professional wrestler. Any particular place that you have not that you would like to visit? Of course, being the States or anywhere else?
You know, I've wrestled in 9 different countries, but I've never wrestled in Japan, so I would love to do that at some point.
You know, it seems like a lot of wrestlers that started here in the States, that's like the dream place to wrestle. What is it about Japan?
I miss the history of it, you know, to me anyways. You know, like a lot of those companies are exactly my style. I mean, there's a few, but I just, you know, to get off the bucket list, so to speak, you know, I have a lot of friends out there right now that are doing really well in Japan, and so hopefully one day down the line I'll be able to head up there too, you know, at least for a few shows and get the experience.
And Joey, do you still tune in to the TNA or the WWE? Do you tune in, aside from you being a professional wrestler, but as a fan?
I like to support my friends. I haven't seen it in a while. I kind of got far behind. It's because I've been doing a lot of, because, you know, I live in Los Angeles, I've been doing a lot of acting stuff and some modeling stuff, and a lot of those, you know, Mondays and Thursdays and Fridays are work days, and they go into late in the evening, so I don't really get a chance to catch those shows. But, you know, I try to keep up with it, whether, you know, it's reading results or hearing how my friends are doing.
And in particular, when it comes to acting, any specific movies that we could expect you in or that we should look forward to?
I can't really say a couple of them yet, because it's kind of like, you know, they want to keep it under wraps. But like, you've seen me, like, recently I did some work in a TV show, Scandal, and I was in a TV show, called Legends, that's coming out. I think it's brand new, actually. It's going to be on CBS. So I'm trying to think of what else I did that has already been out, or already been released. But a couple projects, they don't really want to, you know, say stuff until it comes out, you know what I mean?
Gotcha. Well, Joey, I know you have those great t-shirts, man. Where can people find them? I know that you plug them all the time. Where can they visit to get more information on you?
My t-shirts are for sale at prowrestlingtees.com/JoeyRyan. Then, you know, my Twitter's at JoeyRyan online. And on Facebook and Instagram, too.
Wonderful, Joey. Well, thanks so very much for taking some time and speaking to us, and we look forward to seeing you at Full Impact Pro, part of the Florida Rumble 2014 in Maitland, Florida, June 22nd, bell time 3 p.m. If you can't make it, WWNLive.com. You can watch it stream in HD. Thanks so very much, Joey. Talk to you soon, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
This is the Secretary of Offense, Frankie Kazarian, and I'm the Ring General, Christopher Daniels. Together, we're known as Bad Influence, and when we're not inspiring children across the world, we like to watch The Roman Show, and now you are too.
When in Rome, watch The Roman Show.
And you are actually listening to The Roman Show right now. On June 18th, as we have heard from Ashley Evan Smith, Rick Glenn, Joey Ryan, a former TNA superstar, and in just a few seconds, you will hear from Broadus Clay, who was released from the WWE last week. And the man is talking. He's very happy, very excited for what his future holds. And you might learn a thing or two about the guy. He's not just a big dude that could just go and kick butt inside the ring. Trust you me when you hear this interview, Joe.
Oh, wow.
Guys, again, remember to visit theromanshow.com. Latest interviews, videos, pictures, the whole nine. Theromanshow.com. Do you remember Angie Martinez, Joe?
Angie Martinez.
Yeah, this goes back to, let's see.
The ECW days?
No, this is actually from the radio, man. Angie Martinez, she was a radio host in, she's in New York, and she became very well known. I mean, she knows across the country. Anyways, Angie Martinez has now resigned from Hot 97. Hot 97 being one of the most popular radio stations in New York for hip-hop and R&B. And Angie Martinez is no longer affiliated with Hot 97 as she has resigned. And RIP, she is a free agent, yes. Maybe she could come over for the Roman Show.
Hey, there you go.
And taking
application.
R.I.P. to Casey Kasem, who passed away. Guy, we all remember him, Casey Kasem, top 40. He passed away, so R.I.P. to him. Did you know this guy, man, this guy keeps just making headlines. The other day, actually, he celebrated by drinking Heineken after becoming a, I think it was a billionaire now? Dr. Dre? As he sold.
Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre, man. You know Dr. Dre. NWA.
Yes, I'm just.
The wealthiest hip-hop artist has announced the release date for the upcoming NWA biopic, Straight Outta Compton. Now, in a Twitter message, Dr. Dre revealed that the biopic will be released August 15th of next year. Dre's Twitter message also included the first promotional picture for the film. So, yes, there is a biopic of NWA. Reports originally placed actor Marcus Callender as the actor that will portray Dre. However, the promo photo and press release from NBC Universal differs. According to the press release, Iron Man 3 actor Corey Hawkins will portray Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton. There you go. A movie about the NWA. Pretty neat. And now they're working on a Tupac movie, so we got to wait for that one as well. All right, enough of the chit-chatting, huh?
Well, if they do a Tupac movie, I think Tupac is going to be playing by himself, because the way how everybody says that he's still alive.
Since he's still making movies, right? I mean, he's still making songs. All right, enough of the talking.
Yeah.
We're going to welcome in right now Brodus Clay, folks. Brodus Clay is a very good friend of mine. We have interviewed him a couple of times here on the show, and he gave us the opportunity to speak to him one-on-one. And it was truly a great half hour that we spoke to this man as he let us know about his life, about his wrestling career, and his feelings towards Dolphins and how he feels very badly for them. So you hear right now from Brodus Clay, former WWE talent, and a big dude. He used to be Snoop Dogg's bodyguard, since we were talking about the NWA. So hang tight and listen to none other than Brodus Clay right here on The Roman Show. And if you want to tweet during the interview, please do send it to @TheRomanShow. We'll tweet you right back. And that's the cool thing about social media. We'll be right on the air.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar John Cena. Keep listening to The Roman Show. If you don't, I'll check the phone book. I'll find you. It'll get weird with these. Weird.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so very much for tuning in again here to The Roman Show. And it's a true pleasure to speak to this gentleman. I've had the opportunity of interviewing him here in Miami about twice, once during the WrestleMania weekend, and I believe it was last year during NXT's appearance here in South Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Brodus Clay. How are you, Brodus?
Man, I'm maintaining, man. Room temperature.
Okay. Brodus, you know, one thing I did notice from you is that despite what happened, you know, they released you and so forth, you're taking a good positive attitude. And that goes a long way.
Well, you have to. I mean, how can you have a negative attitude? Like, boom, I wrestled and entertained for the number one wrestling entertainment company on the planet, in the universe. And, you know, I've worked with them since 2006. And, you know, I had a lot of fun. I worked hard. I got better every year. They gave me an opportunity to, you know, see the world and be on that world stage and perform. And so, you know, our time is up. And it was a great time. And, you know, no regrets. You know, you always wish you could do other things differently. And you want, but I don't really dwell on that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I live in the now, to quote my homie Harry Smith. And, you know, nothing but love from them, and I'm going to move on and do my thing, and I'm actually excited about the opportunity, so it's a good thing. It must be great on both sides.
You know, one thing I noticed about you, Brodus, is that when you weren't, you were on the main roster in Raw, and when you continued to be part of that, but then you went to NXT, but you were cool, you were willing to help the guys that were still trying to come up, so you were still having fun out there.
I don't care if it's 30,000 people, 90,000 people, 300 people, the opportunity to go out and entertain can't put a price on that. And, you know, all the other things that, you know, that people talk about, I really don't worry about. But whenever you get to go through that curtain and butterflies, and it's just the most fun. You get to be, you know, cowboys and Indians, cops and robbers, and live your dream. So that's part of the business, man. You know, for every guy that helped me get to where I was at, you're supposed to do that. That's part of the art. That's part of what you do, you know. You do your thing, and then one day it's somebody else's time, and you do your part. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it should be.
And with this Wolf Funkasaurus character, were you really a big fan of this character, or do you think you could have been someone else, something else?
At first, I was scared of it, but, you know, that first time I saw a kid with a Funkasaurus shirt on and dancing, and it really put a smile on my face, and seeing people in the crowd, you know, enjoying it and stuff like that, I fell in love with that character. I'm grateful that I got a chance to take a risk and do something different. That, you know, was definitely out of my comfort zone, but, you know, he also is a very part of me, just something that, clowning and just having fun and entertaining, I enjoyed it, you know, and, it was a stepping stone. I mean, Naomi and Cameron, look what they're doing, you know, they're killing it, you know, they're the famous thing, and Naomi's a tremendous singer and just all around talented, and I don't think maybe those things would have been afforded to him had they not been, and some of the things that are on the horizon for me wouldn't have happened if they weren't for the Funkasaurus. So if you measure a character on championships, well, then you're going to say, well, the Funkasaurus didn't work. But if you're going to measure it on fan appeal and people talking about it and enjoying it and wanting to see it and things like that, it was a success and it was a great time. And I had strikes in the street, bodyguarded. I got my fair share of nick-ups growing up doing my thing, and I had a great street rep and still have it today. I can be tough any day of the week. I don't necessarily think I can be the Funkasaurus ever again like I was on the grand stage with everything that went on with Cairo and dancing and with those tremendous girls and Sweet Tea and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, I miss him sometimes. He was great. I enjoyed him, and I will never be ashamed to say I was a Funkasaurus.
Yeah, and no doubt. I mean, you appeared on a commercial for children. I mean, that in itself just speaks for how much of a success the character was. You're right. It wasn't about the titles, but it was about the popularity. And definitely, you were a popular character. I totally agree with you there, 100%.
Yep.
Now,
in
regards to the character, though, can you use this character outside now, or you're just going to have to stick to your name?
To be honest with you, man, the Funkasaurus, he's a WWE thing. You can't reproduce that on that stage. I mean, I guess I could do. I'll always be looked at that way, and there's always, you know, like Urban Streetwise. But to go to another promotion is like, let's say the Funkasaurus Rex or like Partyosaurus or something like that. I have no interest in doing that. That character will be remembered in the WWE. Like, that's that character, you know. I'd like to leave him there. So, will the charisma and stuff go with me? Of course, it's natural. I mean, it's just who I am. But it was a good chapter, and that book is closed right now.
You know, one thing I did notice is that a lot of the former WWE guys that are now in the independent scene and are having much success, reached out to you and the other guys that were released. Tell me about that camaraderie that exists amongst wrestlers.
Everybody's been through it. Everybody's going to get fired. They're going to get released. Every NFL player one day is going to get cut. You know, everybody gets to retire in a blaze of glory. Everybody gets let go. It's the nature of the business. It's how it goes. And it is a brotherhood there. And it just goes to show that, you know, sports entertainers are good people. And it's just a respect thing, and you know, you never want anybody to fail. And then when they do fail, or their time is up, or however you want to look at it,
And it is, because sometimes you hear in the independent scene that, oh, the locker room is very egotistical, but that just really begs to differ that guys that have been there and that aren't in these scenes, and hey, don't worry. I think it was Hurricane Helms says, listen, don't worry about it, guys. There's a lot of talent, and it's the best time to be out here right now as we speak. So that in itself, just speaks for itself, that wrestlers do stick together. It's not about an ego thing. I mean, that's what I took from it.
Well, I mean, Helms, Tommy, Dreamer, there are so many guys that just, like, were, like, you know, guys that, Tommy Slade. I mean, it was just, my boy, CP3 from TNA. Like, there's just so many guys that, like, you know, they'd reach out and say, how you doing, and whatever, and if you're okay, and they all been through it, you know. And it's the nature of the beast, but I didn't really look at it as a negative thing. So, you know, it's not. So, you know, I don't need the oh man, I'm sorry, and oh man, that sucks, and things like that, because it's just a time and a change of venue, different scenes, and opens more opportunities. And you know, I'm gonna miss you know, the boys and the locker room stuff like that, because that was kind of like a big part of who I was there and things like that. But you know, we're friends, and if we're meant to stay friends, we'll stay friends or whatever. Just like anything else, you know, when the NFL's over, you miss the locker room, you miss the practices, you know, you miss traveling together and all that kind of stuff. But that's the nature of the beast.
Was it rough, the traveling, the whole 360-something days that you guys were on the road and performing? How hard was it, and it wasn't, what did your body take a toll?
The toughest thing, man, is getting the middle seat from the airport. That sucks. You have your days, you know, you got some days are better than others, some days you're sore, some days, you know, your girl tripping on you on the phone or something like that, you know, and complaining about you, but I mean, it's just like anything else. You know, to be in the spotlight and have the opportunity to perform week in, week out for the WWE, you got to pay your dues, and you know, you got to travel, and some things will suffer, relationships that can be difficult at times, but nothing's given to you, you got to earn it, and that's part of it. You know, you want to embrace the glory and accolades that comes with being a WWE superstar, you got to do the work, you know, and travel's part of it. So I don't regret any of it, but you know, everyone has their bad days.
Any particular place that you enjoyed visiting out of all the places in the world that the WWE took you to?
Man, Australia, South Africa. It was just amazing. You know, swimming with Justin Gabriel, who's, you know, a friend for life, and took me to swim with the Great White Sharks. It was amazing. And Australia, which I had been there before with Snoop, but just a great place. Really enjoyed it. Loved it. Good people.
Now, speaking about traveling, I understand that now you're headed to Japan to protect dolphins.
Yep.
So this is something that had been in the works already. It's not like something that you just came out from the day after that you were released from the WWE. This is something you had planned. And why dolphins? What's the passion behind it? And I myself have seen that movie where they skin the dolphins. It's really horrible.
Now, have you seen you know, Black Finish? You've seen The Cove?
Yep.
There's a great book out by Richard Perry and his son. You know, I after watching it, I wanted more information, and it stems from as a child, I wanted to be a marine biologist. You know, I wanted to study killer whales, and I wanted to be a part of that world. And you know, football, basketball kind of took me away from that stuff, and then obviously wrestling and you know, bodyguarding and just life in general. But I never left the path. You know, I always. If you go to my house, the chances are that I'm watching David Attenborough, if I'm not watching football or basketball, you know, there's a chance I'm watching something like that. And so, and being a part of it, like, I wouldn't characterize myself as, like, a crazy environmentalist or anything like that, but when it comes to, like, just knowledge and enjoying watching animals and, you know, I have giant fish tanks myself and critters around the house. But it's always been a passion of mine, and one of my bucket lists was to always do to be a part of something like that, to swim, you know, in the wild with, you know, killer whales or dolphins and things like that would be awesome, although it's a little unrealistic, but the second best thing is to be an advocate for them. And once I saw the movies, you know, I was reminded of that if you could be a voice for it, then do it. And it started out just trying to help, like, hey, can I retweet some stuff to you guys? I didn't think, you know, I didn't even think they'd respond, to be honest with you. And, you know, respond, we, you know, we talked, we met had as friends, you know, and I started talking about it, and he told me about, I asked, I wanted to be a part of it. And he said, well, we're going out September 1st, and I said, well, I'm going to ask permission if I can go. And, you know, because the WWE is so active in so many other things, you know, WWE picks, you know, they're very active in terms of, like, reading literacy and, like, you know, the bully program, the Be a Star program, and the WWE has always been, you know, in the forefront of charities and Make-A-Wish and things like that. So I honestly didn't think it would even be a problem. And, you know, but fortunately or unfortunately, I was released before I had to ask. So, you know, but I'm sure it would have been no problem. So I'm excited to be going now. And it's a done deal and going to go out there. But I think it's important. I'm not going out there to beat up fishermen or intimidate fishermen or anything like that besides the fact that I'm, you know, 6'8" and, you know, look like a monster or whatever. We're there for awareness. And, you know, the fishermen are people too. And they're just doing what they, you know, they, I'm not sure what their education levels are, or what job opportunities are, but to, you know, to convince them to, you know, instead of harpooning dolphins, to open up, you know, tours and whale watching, like that's year-round employment. That builds up, hotels, restaurants, businesses, you know, tourism, like that generates year-round money, for those guys taking that boat to chase dolphins in the shore, to load it up with people from all over the world, for them to come see those special dolphins from that area. That's the goal, you know. It's change, not necessarily we're going to stop you and, you know, we're going to, you know, end it, all that other kind of stuff. And I think that gets mixed up in a lot of times. Like, I'm not a liberal, I'm not a conservative, I don't have an agenda. It's just, hey, man, like, these are, like, cool creatures, man. We need to, like, not do it. You know, you shouldn't be chopping them up. You know, it's just not cool. I feel the same way about dogs, you know what I'm saying? In some countries, they put them on the table. I can't control that, but, like, I just feel like dolphins are sensual beings and, you know, they have a language of their own and things like that, and we need to look that we're not the only thing on this planet that has conscious thought and is has awareness of self, and we need to just educate people like that. I mean, we're going to, I'm the first guy to have a stake, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it is what it is, but certain things I think we can say, hey, this is, we're not going to do that, you know?
If you would still have been to the WWE, I'm sure that they would have been cool with it, but would you have probably tell the WWE, hey, we should look into it since you guys are very involved with the whole anti-bullying campaign, literacy, and so forth?
Say what? One more time?
That you think that the WWE would have definitely supported you 100% in this and probably even would have made you some sort of like a spokesperson and behind the protecting dolphins since they're so... in support of anti-bullying campaigns and literacy campaigns and so forth?
I would, my gut feeling would be if it was, everything was positive and non-confrontational and, was in the best interest of, you know, the company and public relations and things like that, then yeah, absolutely.
And
that
is,
I can't speak for them. You know, I'm not going to say what they would do, but like I said, any noble, project, they've always been supportive of, so I would be surprised, you know, if they weren't. Like I said, they have always been on the forefront, so, and I'm sure they will continue to do so.
And they have. So,
but I can't answer a question like that. All I can say is, like, look at their record, and I would imagine it would speak for itself.
One thing, though, you release, instantly you get work. You're already going to be at the PWS. You're going to work with Homicide. Any other plans, any other companies that you're working for, and who did you most who did you most enjoy wrestling with in the WWE?
You know, probably to answer that easy question, probably my favorite guy to bang with was probably Heath Slater. I think I wrestled him 1,000 times. there's so many guys that were awesome to be in the ring with, you know, Edge, you know, CM Punk, Cesaro, Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler, TJ Wilson, the Usos, Damian Sandow, Santino. Like, I honestly, man, I enjoyed my time, man. Kurt Hawkins, JKG. It was, I enjoyed, I really could say one, but probably my guy that I had the most fun with was, and he just takes a good whooping, is Heath Slater. And, yeah, man, like, response has been, like, unreal, man. I'm going to, UK's Comic Con, man, and I got all kinds of dates, and I'm actually, you know, if I just didn't expect it to be like this, but I'm glad it's like this, man. Like, I'm busier now than I was. So, I mean, that's pretty cool.
I've had a lot of promoters that have sent us emails. They want to know how they can book you.
You know, hit me up on Eric Sims. Handles a lot of my stuff, and I put up on Twitter, like, check my Twitter. I put a lot of stuff up there where they get emails and stuff like that. You can reach my boy, Ron, at Stampede Management, and Kevin Barkey and stuff. They're handling stuff like that. So, yeah, if you're looking for me, and you can find me also on my Facebook and stuff like that. So, there's, I'm easily found. Twitter's the easiest way. Hit me up. Message me. I'll point you in the right direction, and we can go from there. Like I said, I'm willing to work, anybody.
Now, since you're going to be in Japan, any chances that you're going to get the itch of wrestling in Japan? I know a lot of the guys, they love to go to Japan and wrestle.
Absolutely. That's on my bucket list. Oh, and,
right.
Saturday, July 19th, they call it Explosions in PPW. I'm excited to put hands on Tommy Thwaites and maybe capture my first championship for him.
That is just awesome. Now, I'm going to get here to some questions from the fans that have messaged us. Brian McDowell, he wants to know, how is working with John Cena, you know, and what type of role does he play in the WWE? Is he really a nice guy? What can you tell us about John Cena and working with him?
John Cena is a consummate pro, professional. He comes to work every day. Straightforward, tells you exactly what it is. One of my big regrets is never getting the chance to actually work a match with him. But I did, I got a chance with Alberto to T-bone him one time, so that was cool. But, if it wasn't for Hard Knock South and give you the opportunity to train there, and give it a great trainer like Rob, probably wouldn't have dropped the weight the way I did, keep the muscle the way I've kept it. And I just actually finished up working there. I'm still there. So, he's just a great leader in terms of, like, he walks it, he talks it. He's not one of those guys that says one thing and does another. He's a great, he's the face of the WWE, and rightfully so.
So he helped you out as far as your conditioning and keeping up your weight and muscle mass? Ponte here wants to know, what do you think of the Authority storyline, and if there could be a third member of the Shield, who would you pick?
Who would I pick to be the third member of the Shield? I don't necessarily think to come into the Shield now, like, they have an establishment. They are, all those guys are destined for greatness, you know, and I would feel bad for anybody coming in because they'll live up to the standard that the Shield set. That bar is pretty high. If I had to pick one guy off the top of my head to go into the Shield, to replace, and not that Seth could be replaced, but maybe Adrian Neville would be a good pick. TJ Wilson would be an excellent choice. It has to be somebody with a technical, his work would have to back up the Shield. But, like, that's like adding a horseman, you just don't know.
And the Authority.
Those would be my two picks.
And the
Authority. Monday Night Raw isn't the number one cable TV show, for 52 weeks a year, for nothing. So, people are watching. It's trauma, you know, the authority is good TV and it's exciting, it's entertainment, you know. And I wish them nothing but the best, and they're going to continue to be the number one sports entertainment show in the world, and they're always going to have great writing and great stories, and that's why people watch every week. And I'll be no different.
Did you know that when you started this whole Funkosaurus gimmick that Goldust was a big supporter and that he was telling you to give you a chance on Twitter? And this is a question from Mary Ann Knockout. And how do you feel about that?
I love Goldust. Goldie is one of the greatest ring technicians of all time, and he used to coach me all the time. When I was in NXT, I'm going for you, baby. Bolo, I'm going for you, Bolo the Wood. And I love Goldie, and that's another regret that I never got a chance to put hands on him in the ring. But look what he's doing, you know. Goldust is one of the greatest characters of all time. He's a class act, and he's one of the few guys up there with like Randy Orton who has stepped out from like the legacy or nepotism. Like he is his own star. You say the American Dream Dusty, you would say Goldust. You wouldn't say the son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. He is gold dust. He is an institution. He is an icon. Just a tremendous, great guy.
And now, going with so many promotions out there, are you just going to lay back, see where they offer you work, or do you want to be tied into one specific company, or are you just going to just play the role?
I'm aggressively just going. I have a bucket list of guys that I want to face in the ring, and so I'm going to go with as many opportunities as I can. Like, I'm going to work, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to enjoy what I'm doing. I've got some acting projects coming up, I have to juggle all that. So I'm going to stay busy and do what's best for me and do what's best for the fans and stuff like that. So I'm entertaining all ideas right now, and there's places obviously you want to go. And, TNA's on the map, New Japan's on the map, and, there's all kinds of whatever opportunities, pop out there. I want to take it and, make the best decision for me when the time is right.
One last question. I noticed that the pictures there, the working out, you had mentioned about John Cena's suggestion as far as to work out. So you're lifting some Olympic-style lifting. Are you looking out to shed some weight? Are you going to put on some more mass? What's ahead for you physically?
I'm going to keep doing. I got a goal that I started. Get down about 325, but continue and break my records in terms of my maxes or whatever. I got a 550 bench goal. My parallel squats, get those up. My deadlift, snatch and clean, jerks. Got a jump rope goal. I'm up to like 600 between workouts. Like I'll lift. Jump 25 real quick, lift, jump, keep doing my stuff. Training is going to continue, and that's a hobby, a way of life. I wouldn't know what to do without it. And, Hard Knock South was, just gave me the opportunity and allowed me, not a lot of people are going to let, 485-pound monster come to your gym and train, and those guys did. And I'll forever be grateful. But, that's what I'm going to keep doing. What I'm doing, and it's for me, and I enjoy it, man. It's like weight training, fish tanks, movies. Like that's me. That's what that's my thing. It's no longer how many pizzas and stuff like that. Like that particular part of my life is behind me.
So will you get?
I always like to lift, but not hard.
So will you get the marine biology degree?
I have my teaching degree. And that's something that I've been seriously thinking about, something that I'll entertain. you should always, it's funny because, I got my degree and I remember I was thinking about doing my master's program or whatever, and I was like, at the time I was chasing football and stuff like that, and I was like, I remember when I graduated, I was like, man, I'm never going back,
Uh-huh.
And, but I have that piece of paper which says that, I have my bachelor's degree. horrible at the dissection stuff. I hated it. and that's a big part of it. So I have to give that a lot of thought, you know. But that's something down the line, like in my twilight years when I'm done, you know, being a monster and wrestling and stuff like that, it'd be fun to be, you know, Thornton Mellon, you know, going back to school too.
Yeah, it's so tough getting back. It's so tough getting back. Yeah, you know, for me, I want to go ahead and get my master's as well. It's just like, oh, okay, what do I get it in? What do I do? I got it in communications, but it's just like, why? What do I? It's really hard. People don't understand that it takes time and money.
It takes time and money, and then you get it, and then they tell you you have too much education, mm-hmm. not enough experience. So, you know, I have a lot of friends when they were like master's degrees and can't get a job, and I'm like, but you have your master's. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't have any experience. Well, your experience was getting your master's.
Right.
You know? Well, that's maybe more. So it's kind of an oxymoron. I kind of hope that thing kind of works out or whatever. But if I went back to get my degree in marine biology, I'd probably have to have some really patient professors. maybe they'd do something if I can do it, make enough accomplishments with Saving Dog, you know, like one of those honorary ones.
There we go. Listen, Pitbull, the singer, got an honorary degree. I mean, and he did, I don't even think he
even... Anybody, you know.
Yeah, he didn't even pass high school.
I'm sure it was in music. I know it wasn't like philosophy, but then again, rapping is philosophy, so that's fine. Pitbull's, you gotta be pretty intellectual to, you know, maintain a career like he has.
And he's done it very well. Are we going to get you to see you down here in Miami sometime soon?
Man, I'm making moves to go down there, so I'm definitely going to have to, you got to show me around. Like, one of the things, like, I've been in Miami a few times with Snoop. I was up there for WrestleMania, but I've always been in Miami for business. I've never been up there for pleasure, so.
Wow.
I definitely got to, you know, I got, not a lot of time off. I'm actually, got a lot of things going right now, but I'm definitely going to roll up there, so I'm going to hit you up.
Please do.
You got to take me to the spot. Maybe we'll do a radio show from a club or something.
Please do. Brodus, thank you so very much. I appreciate you taking some time and speaking to us. And good luck on everything. I know everything's going to go well.
You've been good with me since day one, so I'll always be good with you.
Thank you, Brodus. Appreciate it, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so very much for tuning in.
I'm not sure we had a little hiccup there, but there it was, Brodus Clay. Letting us know exactly what's in store for him and what he felt about guys that he worked with, like John Cena and so forth. So you had an exclusive interview there with Brodus Clay, former WWE talent. If you didn't learn anything from Brodus Clay, then go ahead and hear that interview all over again, because the guy just basically was very nice, very kind, and let us know about his life. Joe?
Are you gonna take Brodus Clay to La Carreta?
Heck yeah. We're going to go have some coffee.
There you go. The one on 8th Street.
Yeah, in fact, I'm on my way. I got to get some coffee before I go do some more work. You know? Well, Joe, it's been a pleasure. Last news before we go. It turns out that WWE is no longer going to fly in Adam Rose's Rosebuds from NXT unless they are willing or they are within driving distance from Orlando. Instead, they are using local indie wrestlers. The ones at last week's tapings in Minneapolis and Green Bay were Midwest indie wrestlers from the area. So there you go. Budget cuts. Everyone's feeling it, even the Rosebud.
Oh, boy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so very much for tuning in this week. Make sure that, again, you follow us on social media at The Roman Show Twitter, Roman Show Media on Facebook. Go ahead. If you do not live in South Carolina and you want to help out Super Sadie, head on over to GoFundMe.com/SuperSadie. That's Super SADIE. With that said, have a great, great night. TheRomanShow.com. You'll find everything you need to know. Joe, any last words?
Have a good day, and I'll see you guys on Saturday.
Yes, sir. Good day, guys.
What's up, this your boy Kimo Slice, and if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph or Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that man, you'll be alright, you'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph or Roman. This your boy Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.